Really, a life of prayer is really a life of praise when we stop and think about it. In the this week at Ross, I'd put a note in there. Hopefully, you had a chance to read John chapter 15, because we're going to talk about the vine today. We've talked a lot about prayer. You've heard a lot of messages about prayer. I've done several recently on prayer, probably read books on prayer. There are books out there on hindrances to prayer and tell you the problems you're going to have with prayer, and when we read that stuff, we probably think of a couple things. Number one is, I'll never measure up to what God expects me to do as I pray. And measuring up becomes a concern for most of us, if not all of us. It can be a word that we want to avoid because it seems like it's such a difficult thing to do. It becomes intimidating, makes us worry, concerns us. And it's really nothing more than what we said this morning. Lord, I pray for my sister. I pray for my brother. I ask you to bless them. John wrote in chapter 15, verse 7, he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, that is, if we are vitally united and my measure lives up in your heart, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Wow. It means anything that I want, I can have. And that's the normal prayer that people ask. But there's another verse in 1 John 5:14 that says, there is the remarkable degree of confidence which we as believers are entitled to. Are entitled to is put in parentheses in the Amplified Bible, to have before Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, that is consistent with His plan and purpose, He hears us. So how do we reconcile anything that we ask we get? But then there's that caveat. Oh, wait a minute. His will. How does His will tie in to that? And I think what He's saying there is if we live a life so in harmony with God that we know His will before, I'm going out on a limb, but we're going to talk about a vine and a branch, before we ever ask what we need or what we want. And it comes from three words that are taken from John chapter 15, and those three words are, abide in me. And that's how we know the will of God, because we abide in Him. And so when we begin to think about that, and we begin to look at it, and we begin to look at this whole word abide, what's it mean? And Jesus was walking along with His disciples from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane, and He probably had an opportunity to pass the Temple of Herod there. And the Temple of Herod, over the entranceway, had a vine. And a vine was the sign of Israel, or was the sign of the nation. And so what Jesus was saying when He walked by that and probably looked at that, and He said, I am the vine. And I think what He probably really meant was He said, I am the only vine. I am the true vine. I am the one vine. Yeah, there'll be others come along. There'll be others coming along proclaiming who they are and what they can do. But He says in John chapter 15, and starting with verse 5, He says, yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. The branch hangs off the vine. That's what He's saying there. I'm the vine, you are the branches. You have life. The branch has life because of the vine. The branch is there to do the work of the vine. Without the vine, the branch could do nothing. Without the branch, the life can do nothing. The vine can do nothing. So he goes on, he says here, there are those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So this whole idea of fruit bearing and fruit producing is what he's telling us here. And a lot of people would sit around and think, well, maybe we need more branches. If we got more branches, we can do more things. If we got more branches, we can produce more fruit. And there might be some truth to that. But he goes on to say, and I in them will produce much fruit. Much fruit is produced by a branch on the vine. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and to a pile and are burned. What they used to do in biblical days was they would bring wood to the altar for sacrifices. And each worshiper brought his own wood. But the one thing they never brought was vine branches. Because vine branches were too soft. They didn't burn well. And so what the Bible says here is that they gather those up and they throw them in a fire. They are of no use by themselves. He says he throws them in and a branch and they wither. Such branches are gathered and thrown and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you and you ask anything you want, it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings me great joy. One of the things that we don't like is sometimes he has to prune us a little bit. Reel us in. Tell us, don't do that. Don't do that. I had some of that happen this week. Like, I don't really like that. Nobody likes to be cut down to size. But it probably needed to happen or it wouldn't have happened. And in verse 16, he says, you've not chosen me. But he says, I've appointed and placed and purposely planted you so that you would go out and bear fruit and keep on bearing. Keep on producing. The branch is there to bear fruit. That's our job. But we can only do it as we abide in him. The branch can only produce fruit if it abides on the vine. I thought, we were at the campground yesterday, and there was the leaves are falling down like crazy. Somebody put on the Facebook page there that the neighbor had blown all the leaves over in their yard. I'm sorry, it wasn't me. But they're coming down, and I used to think, well, you know, the leaves just automatically fall, they die in the fall, and they fall off. But I learned this week they don't just fall off. They are pushed off by the sap to create new leaves in the spring. And I thought, well, that seems odd. Then I thought, we're not up there pulling leaves off either. And we're not up there in the spring putting new leaves back on the tree. But that's God's cycle of preparing the tree, and our responsibility is to keep the tree healthy. How do we keep the tree healthy? We keep the tree healthy by renewing our mind on a daily basis. I have some people in a prayer covenant team here. I'm sharing some things with them. And there's no doubt in my mind that Satan is battling us over some things. Those of you that are participating in it know, and probably had sensed some things maybe that have come up. Things that we see and things that we hear. And as a Christian, we should be bearing fruit. There's no way around it. We should be giving away every spiritual gift, everything that God has given to us, to someone else. I wasn't led in that, you know, in the prayer this morning to say a couple of things that I did. But as I look back and see how God directs us and God leads us and God has life for us, it's amazing. We had growing up in the back part of this acreage that my mom and dad had, two pear trees. They would produce an abundant amount of pears every year. They also generated an abundant amount of bees that would come around those trees. And I was thinking, as I was preparing this, that when we get into fruit bearing, there are going to be some bees that come around. There are some things that are going to come around to want to impede us. Maybe some of those hindrances to prayer that we hear about. Maybe someone saying, well, what else could I have done? What else could you have done? You didn't do this, you didn't do that. Did you? And so the bees will come around in the form of Satan, telling you that you didn't pray enough, telling you you didn't pray hard enough, you didn't pray about the right things. But the whole key is abiding in the vine, abiding in His presence. I was thinking today as Debbie was talking about the list of people that are going on the team with Linda. Some of the names I recognize. Some of them I don't. But as she was talking about praying for them, and I'm thinking, speak their names out loud. Don't just think them. Because faith comes from hearing. And sometimes we have to hear our own words. There's a lot of places and that we go that there's not a lot of faith spoken. There's not a lot of faith shown. There's not a lot of grace shown. And so what Jesus is saying is, abide in me. Let the vine feed the branch. Because He said, I am the vine, we are the branches, so that the branch can produce fruit. When He comes along and snips us back a little bit, it's not, as I said, pleasant. But there's a reason He's doing it. And it might be, He might be showing us that something that we could have done, something that we could have done better, we could have done different. John 7, 37, 38 says, now and on the last and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and called out in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, that is, who adheres to, trusts in, relies on me, as the Scripture has said, from his innermost being will flow continually rivers of living water. Part of that abiding is that flow, that it flows into us and it flows out of us. There's only one body of water, I understand, that doesn't flow, and that's the Dead Sea. Things flow into it, and they just die. Everything else has life. I saw the cutest thing the other day on Facebook of this bear laying in this pool, or in this stream of water. And I thought about that. You know, I mean, he has fresh water flowing over him, around him, and through him. And I was thinking, that's really what we ought to be. Having the water, the living water that Jesus has, flowing through us, flowing around us, flowing over us, taking care of us. Think what Jesus is saying to us is, you provide the waterbed, I'll provide the water. You provide the availability, I will provide the vine. You provide the availability, and we will bear much fruit. But that's the whole idea of abiding, is to be in His presence and to live so close to Him that when we take a step away, we know it's the wrong way to go. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for this day, Father. We thank You for that abiding presence, that voice that You speak to us, the way that You guide us, the way You direct us. We are so blessed. Lord, we ask that You bless our time together after this service, our time of fellowship, our time for lunch, Lord. We pray You'll bless the food to nourish our body. We pray, Father, for the meeting, and we ask You to bless Sam as he oversees it and directs it for us. We give You thanks, Father, for this church, for the leadership team, for the membership, Lord, for those that visit and worship with us. Thanks be to God for each and every one. Lord, help us to abide. In Jesus' name we pray.